This episode of the podcast is brought to you by First Row Collectibles. Visit them at www.firstrow.ca and use the promo code FNP at checkout for free shipping. We're also brought to you by Sisu, the best mouthguard that's on the market. Visit sisuguard.com and use the promo code FNP10 to save 10% on your order today. Friday, May 4th. May the 4th be with you. Welcome to Fight Night Picks episode number 7. Ugh, may the 4th be with you. Sorry about that. Alright, so Fight Night Picks episode 7. We're going to get right into it. So there's no Bellator, there's no UFC this weekend, but there's plenty of other different fight cards and organizations planning events for Friday, Saturday, and even on Sunday as well, if you get the chance. So, there's an Emelianenko fighting this week. It's not Fedor. It's, the much more sketchy Alexander. He's going to fight Gabriel Gonzaga, going on Saturday from Russia. It's an RCC fight card. It's Gonzaga's first fight since 2016, when he got knocked out by the Black Beast, Derek Lewis, in the UFC, so he hasn't fought since. I think he's got a couple of different gyms. There's one in Worcester. I know he trains out of there, but he's got a couple of different jiu-jitsu gyms in Massachusetts. And Emelianenko, since getting out of prison, he's been active as a fighter, and he fought already once this spring, so he's pretty fresh. Pretty sure right out of the gate, Emelianenko is going to get the win. Just due to Gonzaga's inactivity, and if you look back at his last probably 6 fights, I'd say he had the tendency to get knocked out pretty easily, so should be a pretty quick fight, should be a finish for sure. You never know, it could be a fight like Emelianenko's against Eddie Bengtson, and if you've seen that, it's the old gif and the video that's kind of floating around on the internet. It's got over 1 million views on YouTube when he pretty much swiped left on Tinder and knocked the poor guy out. It looked like it was staged, and it kind of goes into what Chael Sonnen was saying on his podcast once this week, that, you know, some of those fights that took place over in Japan, they're kind of fake. And as soon as he said that, there were a few different fighters that, you know, they agreed with him for sure, and there were a lot of people that said, hey, no, you know, stay in your lane, you didn't fight in Japan, you don't know what it's like. But, you know, you watch a fight like that where, I mean, Emelianenko looked surprised. He probably didn't know what the scoop was, but the guy he was fighting definitely did. I mean, he threw a jab like if I was trying to swat a fly in a wall, and he barely even touched the guy's face, and it ended up being a TKO knockout. So it should be, you know, I guess it's an interesting fight. You got two names, but it should be a win for Emelianenko. I mean, I'm honestly surprised that Gonzaga would take the fight, especially in Russia. And I'm surprised that the ref wants to be involved, the medics would want to be involved. I mean, I know a lot of people were nervous when Alexander fought before he went away, because he was pretty much like positive for Hep C. So a little bit of surprise there, but he's not the only big name fighting this weekend. John Gotti fights this weekend, John Gotti the third. He's 1-0, and he's fighting at a card tonight in New York. So, you know, keep your eye out on that one, I guess. I didn't really see that it was going to be televised nationally, but something of note for sure. So the best card this weekend's probably ACB 86 from Olympic Stadium in Russia. You know, I talked about it quite a bit on Monday. I'm a big ACB fan. They had 4 title fights scheduled for this card. One got dropped due to injury, but you've still got 3 more. So the main events, between 8-0, Murat Belaev taking on Yusup Raizov, 12-1. They fought before in 2016. Belaev fought 5 times in 2016. He fought once in 2017. And I said on Monday, and I saw it pop up a couple different times on Twitter, and I definitely shared it and commented on it. You look at Belaev's story, I mean, going to jail for 10 years, served the full 10-year sentence, and then finally got back into the groove of wrestling and MMA, and he's had a really good start. I mean, he just started in 2014 to compete professionally, and he's already 8-0 and a champion in ACB in the featherweight division. Whereas Raisov, he's a younger guy. He's still in his 20s, interim champ, and it should be a really interesting fight. You know, Raisov in his last three fights, he's got two submission wins in 2017. And I mean, Belaev with only one fight in 2017. I'm going to take Raisov to get the win. Just based on those submission skills, he's grown quite a bit as a fighter since 2016. And I mean, kudos to Belaev. A great story for sure. If you still haven't seen it, go check it out. I know Ryan Thomas was the one that originally posted the story about him for Combat Docket. So go have a look at that for sure. But a great main event to end that card. The fight before that, the co-main, you've got future UFC title challenger, 9-0 Askar Askarov. Finished all of his nine fights. Hell of a fighter. Defending his belt against Razul Albaskanov, who's 7-2. You know, expect the champ to dominate. He's going to fight Demetrius Johnson when he signs over at the UFC after this fight. I've been more than assured that the contract's already signed and sealed and delivered. So, you know, Askar Askarov, if you haven't had a chance to look at him, maybe go on over to ACB's YouTube page. They post the fights, they're live and free on there. So have a look at that. Get to see how, you know, dynamic of a striker, how fluid his movement is. Go look at his skills before he comes over to the UFC, and you can brag to your friends that you already knew about him. Your other title fight on that card that I mentioned on Monday, my up-and-comer, you've got 4-0 Batraz Ignayev taking on 15-5-1 Dovletson Yagshimuradov. Really highly anticipated fight. You know, from what I've read and what I've been told, Askarov's already signed the contract to come over to the UFC. I can only expect that Ignayev at some point will get a UFC contract, or I mean a Bellator contract. I'll get into Bellator a little bit later, but UFC for sure. You could see that there's some interest there. You know, there's so many skilled Russian fighters that have been coming over and finding success in the UFC, and that's why I feel like, you know, Batraz, he's in that light heavyweight division. He's already beat Thiago Silva, who fought in the UFC, so that was a really, really big coming out win for him. I mean, he's only 4-0 as a pro, and he has such an important win and a title as well. So Batraz Ignayev, definitely looked at him. Should be able to get the win in this fight for sure. Definitely going to be tough, you know, Yagshmirdov, 15-5-1, but Ignayev's got a full set of skills, a full tool belt, if you will. And, you know, like I said, coming over to the UFC, you look at your top 10, you've got Ilir Latifi a little bit older, you've got Shogun, you've got your champ Daniel Cormier. You know, Gustafsson's not a young man. John Jones, by the time he serves a suspension and all said and done, he's into his 30s. So get ready for Batraz Ignayev. Again, I encourage you to go on. The fights start at they're in the afternoon on Saturday, so definitely have a look on ACB's YouTube page and follow this. It's going to be a really good event and something that you should definitely take a look at. So on Friday night, we have LFA 39 from Vail, Colorado. Main event, it's an interim middleweight title fight. You've got Ian Hainish, he's 9-1, taking on Gabriel Checo, 10-2. I'm going to take Hainish to get the win. You know, Checo hasn't fought since 2016. He's got strong submission skills. If you have a look at his record, should be a really interesting matchup. You know, Hainish has got the good striking skills, and I love to see a striking and, you know, almost like a jiu-jitsu or grappler go at it. It's always fun to see that. I'm not saying like James Toney, Randy Couture, but, it should be a really good main event, and take Hainish to win in that one. Also, today, Fridays, you got a stack card with Invicta FC 29 taking place from Kansas City, Missouri. Main event, you've got UFC vet Sarah Kaufman. She's taking on undefeated Katharina Lanner. Lanner, you know, she's young, she's undefeated, she's on a bit of a roll, but I'm going to take Kaufman to win the fight. She's got the experience, and she's got what it takes to be a good champ in Invicta. So take Kaufman in that one. Your co-main, I looked into it quite a bit. It's Pani Kanzad. She's taking on Bianca Daimoni. You know, Daimoni's Invicta debut, and Kanzad, she's lost her last three fights, but if you take a further look into it, she fought your title challenger or title fighter tonight, Sarah Kaufman. She's fought Raquel Paolui, And she also fought Tonya Evinger. So three really good fighters in that Invicta division. And for Daimone, like I said, it's her debut, but I expect that Kanzad, she's going to get back to her winning ways. She's going to be able to shake off those losses and get the win tonight in that co-main. And then the fight before that, you saw a little bit of fireworks yesterday at the presser. You got Pearl Gonzalez taking on Barbara Accioli. Like I said, had a bit of a scuffle there after Pearl weighed in. Bianca, or Barbara rather, she looked like she came from Bikini Bottom. And yeah, I mean, both fighters, they've lost their last two. Gonzalez is 7-3. Accioli's 4-2. In the fight, I'm going to take the taller, longer Accioli. She's got about 4 inches of height on Gonzalez, and she's going to be a tough target to hit. She's got wins by knockout. She's got wins by submission as well. So was 4-0, and look to her to get back to her winning ways. Another big card that's going on this weekend that, you know, you might not have really heard too much about, but it's really important for sure. You got Ryzen 10 from Fukuoka, Japan. It's going to take place for anyone that lives kind of close to the Atlantic time zone. It's taking place Sunday morning at 2:30 is when it starts, main event, or main card. So main event, you've got Ian McCall, Uncle Creepy, taking on fellow UFC vet Kyoji Horiguchi. You know, Horiguchi is one of the best flyweights in the world. His only big loss was to Mighty Mouse, and he got submitted. So I had a look on Ian McCall's Twitter page. Definitely want to check that out. I mean, going into his last fight, he cut his head on a part of the ring, and they had to end the fight due to, like, doctor stoppage. So, you know, the poor guy can never catch a break, whether it's cutting weight or just freak injuries. So I had a look, and yesterday he said that he's pretty much all water weight at this point. He's got 6 more pounds to lose, and he's pretty bummed out that he was having a hard time getting some of his promo gear, shirts, and whatnot. So hopefully things go well for Ian, and if that's the truth, he should have no problem losing those last 6 pounds. But overall, I'm going to take Horiguchi to win the fight. Like I said, his only really major loss, he's only lost 2 fights, and that big one coming to Mighty Mouse in the UFC, but he won his last 3 fights in the UFC, and he's won 8 in a row overall, so he's been a lot more active than McCall, and, you know, shame for poor McCall, but yeah, definitely take Horiguchi in the fight. Another few, you know, interesting fights. Former UFC vet Darren Cruikshank has a fight taking on Koshi Matsumoto. And then, as I had mentioned, he was my up-and-comer in episode 2 of the podcast. Ricardo Preissel's taking on Crow Cop train Ante Delia. So he trains, he's Croatian. And, you know, you have a look. They both have great records. Preissel's 9-0. He's got 8 submissions, 1 TKO win, 2 heel hook wins. And in his last fight, he was actually able to win by toe hold. Delia, if you have a look, great fighter. You know, his last loss was to Marcin Tybura in 2015, and that was actually his last pro fight, so hasn't fought in quite a while. Good on the feet, good at throwing high kicks, you know, Crow Cop trained. He's got 7 submission wins, 14-3, and one of those wins in 2013 was a north-south choke. Now, I've watched the tape. It was a fight, if I do believe, it was in Poland, and the guy who's fighting looked like a scrub, and he dominated the fight, but, you know, you don't see a lot of north-south chokes, and it should be a really electrifying jiu-jitsu fight for sure. You know, coming off Bellator last weekend, definitely, if you really enjoyed that Bellator main card, you're going to want to watch this fight if you get a chance and if you're able to. So, I mentioned at the start of the episode, I'd like to welcome our new sponsor, First Row Collectibles, out of Manitoba. They're in the Winnipeg area. You know, you head on over to their website, firstrow.ca. They've got MMA autographs, they've got wrestling memorabilia, they've got hockey cards, you know, the list goes on. Movie memorabilia. I was on there today, saw some Ron Simmons, damn, autographs. There's Bret Hart autograph card. You know, the pretty cool mystery packs you can get your hands on. So, for our listeners only, head on over to the website, enter the promo code FNP at checkout, you'll get free shipping. All the prices on there, they're all in Canadian dollars, so if you're an American listener, you can expect to save, you know, roughly 25% depending on where the dollar is today. So head on over, firstrow.ca, use promo code FNP. I'd also like to welcome our second new sponsor, you know, the Sisu Mouthguard. So I've had a Sisu Mouthguard for a number of years. I reached out to them. I think it's a great product. Last spring, took my mouthguard out, went out and played a shift, and for some reason I had my mouth open when the puck was coming at me, and I lost one of my front teeth. So, you know, geez, I want to think, it probably cost me out of pocket close to $1,000. Had to get a root canal done, had to get a crown. I mean, it looks all right now, but it was definitely a hassle. So if I was wearing my mouth guard, it probably wouldn't have happened, you know. You put these in, they're really, really thin if you've ever seen them online before. You can talk with it in, you can drink with it. I don't gag, you know. Most of those boil and bite mouth guards are pretty bulky. I've had a number of them. You put them in, the back of the rubber is in the back of your throat, and you're always gagging. You can't hear what the guy's saying. Whether it's MMA, you can't really talk to your corner guys. If it's hockey, like I mostly play, you know, you can't scream from across the ice. You can't say anything on the bench. You can't hear what your defensive partner's saying. So they offer a $35,000 dental warranty. It's good for a year, and they'll cover any out-of-pocket expenses if you get hurt while wearing the mouth guard. So if you go to sisuguard.com and enter the promo code FNP10, it'll save you 10% on your first purchase. All sorts of different types of mouth guards, but definitely the feel, they're a thinner mouth guard. You can talk, they're great. There, it is a boil and bite mouth guard, but it's way different than anything you've ever seen before. So head on over to sisuguard.com, promo code FNP10 for 10% off your first order. So Saturday night, another big fight night. You got Triple G taking on Vandis Marchesoyan. Marchesoyan, you know, he hasn't fought since he fought Arislandi Lara in 2016, so he's had a bit of a layoff. Triple G, look, it's gonna be a Triple G win. He's putting a lot on the line fighting this weekend. He could have just waited until September for the big payday, fight Canelo once his suspension, everything's cleared up, but he's taking the Cinco de Mayo fight. Good for him. I really hope that fans appreciate that. You know, it's, he's not fighting Canelo, but at the same time, he's still gonna put on a show for everyone. And then there's a chance that he fights Canelo in the fall. I mentioned on Monday, Dan Raphael had reported that the IBF actually said, so the fight this weekend is for the WBA and WBC titles. Triple G paid a $20,000 fine so that he could retain the IBF title and not fight for it. But the IBF ruled that if Triple G is to fight again after this, he has to fight Sergey Derevyanchenko, who I wanted to see him fight this weekend, and that IBF belt has to be on the line. So, I mean, he already paid a $20,000 fine, so it wouldn't be on the line this week, and I don't see why they can't have a bit of a workaround, and he fights Canelo, but that's just my opinion. I mean, Canelo Triple G, it's probably the biggest boxing fight you can have next to Joshua Wilder, which, again, hopefully happens later on this year. But, yeah, you've got Triple G fighting on Saturday. It's not the only big boxing card this weekend, but it is the bigger of the two, so take Triple G to win in that fight. And like I've been preaching, hopefully we'll get to see that Canelo fight there closer to the end of this year. So we also have, like I said, another fight on Saturday from the O2 in London. You got Tony Bellew taking on David Haye. It's a rematch of their fight from last spring. Neither one of them have fought since. You know, Haye's 37, Bellew's 35. Most people would recognize Tony Bellew from being in Creed a few years ago. He was pretty Ricky Conlan. He got the big win there. I think he's going to get the big win on Saturday as well. He got the TKO last year. So whether it goes to decision, knockout, I'm not going to call that. But it'll be a win for Bellew for sure. So let's get into some news and some top announced fights from this week. I've actually got a few interesting takes, I think, from the different things that shook out. So on Monday, I had said that Alexander Slomenko, he's fighting in M1 in June, and, you know, to me, he'd be a really good matchup for Rafael Lovato Jr. And I even mentioned that I'd like to see Neiman Gracie in his next fight take on Andrei Koroshkov. You know, Slomenko, Koroshkov, both Russian fighters fighting in Bellator. The way the Bellator works is typically the organization has deals with other organizations such as ACB, and I'm going to get into that a little bit later as well, but M1's another one of them. So Shlemenko, there's no contract issues where he's fighting in M1 in June. He can come right back to Bellator and fight out the fights on his contract. So I read this week that Shlemenko had said that he's really disappointed in the way that Bellator is handling Russian fighters and the inactivity that they're kind of facing right now. And he also name-dropped Korshkov. And Korshkov, I guess, is also unhappy that about the amount of fights that he's been able to have. You know, if you look back at his record, he fought quite a bit, 2015, 2016, and then 2017. The last time he fought was the end of last summer, and he hasn't fought since. So definitely an interesting thing kind of going on in Bellator. It's almost the opposite of what's going on in the UFC. The UFC is really starting to push a lot more Russian fighters. You know, you got Khabib as your champ. You got Zabit. You've got all sorts of different guys that are starting to make a name for themselves. So I don't really know what Bellator is trying to accomplish. I understand, you know, Fedor last weekend, huge win. Like, huge win representing Russia. Coker's definitely a big fan, and Fedor's got a big fan base worldwide. But there's all sorts of other really important fighters that they're not pushing. So I'd really like to see them do something. Whether they release those guys, whether those guys demand to be released so they can go to the UFC. I even read that Shlemenko was interested in going to the UFC. So definitely something to watch. And like I said, with the way that the contracts are structured, where guys can kind of come and go and it's not too big of an issue. It was reported that where Frank Mir lost last weekend to Fedor, he's looking to fight in ACB. Didn't name drop any opponents, but that could cause some problems. I was listening to Chael Sonnen's podcast today, and he said, is there a bit of a conflict where he's a commentator in ACB, he's a fighter in Bellator? I don't really think there'd be much of an issue. You know, Chael's a commentator on Bellator, and he fights in Bellator. I know they had him on the desk last weekend, regardless of whether Fedor won or lost, but I'm sure that was why. But yeah, Frank Mir looking to go to ACB and have a fight or two. I think I had a look down through their heavyweight roster. I think a good matchup for him would be Daniel Omelianchuk, fought in the UFC, and it's a name, so it would definitely draw some attention. And if you've got a guy like Frank Mir, you're probably going to attract a North American audience as well. So it's definitely a win for ACB if they can get him over there to fight and have him do a little bit more than just the commentary. Also read today that it was on the Bloody Elbow that Zuffa Boxing is pretty close to signing undefeated Mikey Garcia. So if you're a boxing fan listening to this, you never know. Dana's puppeteering. He could end up getting the 38-0 Mikey Garcia. You know, he's got a lot of big wins on his belt. Big name. He beat Adrian Broner. And he's a multiple weight class champ. So definitely an interesting development. I just read it today, so be really neat to see where that goes from here. Also read, I think it was last night, that Chuck Liddell's still got a Woody for fighting. You know, there was talk that he was going to take on Randy Couture. Then he wanted to fight Tito Ortiz in Bellator. And I know Liddell, he had one of those promo contracts with Bellator, just like Dan Henderson has. Hoyce Gracie, you see him at a lot of the events. Randy Couture has one. They have bobbleheads. They do signings, whatnot. So I was under the impression that Chuck had a contract like that, and he's interested in fighting. But pretty much every commission, everyone around the sport doesn't really want to see Chuck compete. I mean, the guy's in his late 40s. But Oscar De La Hoya is looking at starting an MMA organization, adding Chuck. Now, I would assume that he would want him just for the promo. Having the Chuck Liddell name definitely carries a lot of weight, but apparently Chuck might have the chance to fight, and I don't know if Coker cares. I mean, he's hanging out with 50 Cent and posting pictures on Twitter, so who knows? More Bellator news as we roll on. It was also announced that Roger Huerta signed a long-term deal with Bellator. He's 4-9 in his last 13 fights. He fought a lot of good fighters. I mean, in that span, he fought like Kenny Florian, among others. There were a lot of good names. Pat Curran. And they also re-signed Melvin Manhoef, who's been on a bit of a losing skid. So definitely names for sure. Definitely relevant. But kind of questionable signings from what I think. One person that they definitely should have signed was two-time judo Olympic medalist Kayla Harrison. She signed with PFL. I'll be 100% honest. I saw that they announced June 21st as their first fight card, and Will Brooks will be on it. So a name from Bellator and UFC, former Bellator champ. And Kayla Harrison brings, you know, a lot of attention to them. But at the same time, I think this is going to be a one and done for NBC, and it'll wrap up, and that'll be it. They're offering $1 million prize. It's just ridiculous. It's only in the New York area that they're going to have the fights. So you're not really going to draw crowds from outside, really. I mean, what the UFC is doing right now, where they've got fights in Nebraska, and they've got fights in Boise. They're really pushing themselves across North America. They go to a lot of different cities. Bellator does it too. You know, they end up in Oklahoma. They're in, they're in Connecticut. They'll fight in California here and there. But you know, PFL, if you're only going to have your fights in New York, and I think, you know, you've got NBC, so people are going to see it on commercials on NBC and they might tune in, but you're not going to get the bigger audience. I don't think a lot of MMA fans are going to go out of their way to watch the tournament, and I can't really see it being a big success. So prove me wrong, but they do have a two-time Olympic gold medalist on their roster. Also read that Joanna Jędrzejczyk is going to fight Tisha Torres at UFC on Fox 30 in Calgary. That card just keeps on getting more and more stacked. Whether or not we have a title fight, you know, Valentina Shevchenko, she was arguing with Nico Montano on Twitter. I saw that Montano was arguing with Ariel Helwani on Twitter. I also saw that, you know, Valentina Bullet Shevchenko for Gun Magazine took some pictures. She's on the cover. Don't know what's going on there, but you know, Montana's been sidelined. She's had a lot of different surgeries. I saw that she had issues with her tonsils and her adenoids, so different throat surgeries. Those can kind of take a little bit of time to recover from. You definitely don't want to push yourself if you have issues like that. So I'd really like to see Montana come out and fight on a main card in the UFC and not just an Ultimate Fighter. But and Valentina Shevchenko, I mean, she's one of my favorite fighters out there. But yeah, kind of strange, lots of arguments, and maybe we can see them fight on UFC on Fox in Calgary. Maybe not, but you do have that Joanna and Tisha Torres fight on there. Another fight that was announced, Michael Chiesa is going to be taking on Anthony Pettis, UFC 226, so both guys got bumped from their fights on the Brooklyn card. And we'll get to see them fight soon. And probably the most interesting fight announcement that came out is that JDS is going to take on Blagoy Ivanov. And they're going to headline UFC Fight Night Boise. So Ivanov, if you have a look, he's 16-1. He's got lots of finishes, submissions, knockouts. And his only loss is to Alexander Volkov in 2014 in Bellator. So should be a really interesting matchup. You know, JDS, he's been hit or miss, I guess. I think the Kane fight, they took a lot out of him. But definitely really interesting if you have a look at it. So that just about does this for episode 7 of the Fight Night Picks podcast. I'll be back on Monday, give you a take on all the different fight cards that happened this weekend. And we'll have an up-and-comer, and then we'll focus on the fights for next week.